So there's two passages that from the book of Proverbs that I want to read this morning. But if you keep your Bibles open, I would say leave your Bible open in Proverbs 2 because we'll spend more time there. But just a few verses from Proverbs 8 as well. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Now you notice this passage is calling us children, and that's because this is actually the voice of Lady Wisdom. Earlier in chapter 9, we read that. And so Lady Wisdom is saying, listen, keep my ways. You'll be blessed if you do. You'll be happy. She goes on to say, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorways. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. And then in chapter 2, so Lady Wisdom addressed us in chapter 9, and in chapter 2, it's like the voice of a father. And again, the call to listen, to accept, to submit, to say, I will embrace these words. So, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts and our lives. So up there, you see a golden owl. And in October of 2024, the world's longest treasure hunt, at least in the modern era, the world's longest treasure hunt came to an end. After 31 years, one hunter found that treasure, the coveted golden owl. Now, 31 years before, authors Regis Hauser and artist Michael Becker were developing this hunt, and they announced it to the public in 1993, and they published a book called On the Trail of the Golden Owl. And so you could pick up that owl and you could join the hunt, and over the years many people did, and several people quit along the way. The book contained 11 complete or complex puzzles, which participants had to solve as a part of the hunt. And then there's the hidden 12th puzzle, which held the key to the location in France where that owl was buried. And so, after 31 years, last fall, one treasure hunter completed the final puzzle, found the golden owl, and that person impressed treasure hunters around the world. Now, one of those treasure hunters was a lady by the name of Joanne Bartley. Her fever for finding the golden owl was so strong that for years, she ran the Golden Owl Hunt website dedicated to every part of the hunt. She told reporters, I find it sad that the hunt is over. It was a big part of my life. I just was captivated by it. And so I have a huge respect for the winner, but I'm going to miss it because this treasure hunt was a real adventure. And that's so rare to find in our modern world. And she's right. If you're part of a hunt, that can inject a lot of adventure into your life. And so I want to share with all of you this morning that every Christian is called to a treasure hunt. And we might call our treasure hunt on the trail of wisdom. Because the Bible is clear, if you get wisdom, you get blessing, you get life, you get lots of benefits. Some people define wisdom as a skill in living. The wise know how to live smart before God, and they know how to live within God's world. Bible teacher Neil Planiga, he defines wisdom this way. He says, it's a knowledge of God's world. You might add a knowledge of God's heart. And it's also a knack. It's a knack of fitting yourself into that world. Wise people adjust their life so that they go with the flow of reality. And they make reality, in a sense, work for them. They do their planting in spring. They do their harvesting in fall. They make hay while the sun shines. Because they know how to take advantage of the flow of reality, they make it fruitful for them. Proverbs 8, Lady Wisdom, she promises that if you knock at her door daily, then you will find her. Chapter 8 says the same thing. If you seek me, you will find me. And she says, I'm one of the best of blessings. Those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. Those who fail to find me harm themselves. And those who hate me, they love death. Wisdom haters fail at life, and they find themselves on the fast train to the graveyard. So let's begin this morning and look at the steps of a wisdom hunter. The steps of a wisdom hunter. First of all, accept God's wisdom and store it. We read through the Proverbs, and we accept that wisdom as the very best words for our lives. And so, you know, whatever you value in life, you tend to store away. You store it away. If you're learning some new skill, let's say car maintenance, then you're going to save articles on that topic, and you'll have a playlist of YouTube videos dedicated to the next skill you want to learn. You might even go to a bookstore and buy the Everything Car Care book, and then you will highlight the book as you read it, maybe place little sticky flags at particular passages you want to return to. You might find a friend that you know knows more as well, and you'll have good long conversations with them about the next thing you intend to do. And in this whole process, you're accepting that others know car maintenance better than you do, and you need to submit to their words in order to really, you know, benefit from them. Well, friends, the same process applies to the wisdom of God's word. Both Proverbs 1 verse 7 and Proverbs 9:10 says, both of those passages say that if you are interested in getting into this pursuit of wisdom, you begin with one topic, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what's the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is an attitude of awe and love and reverence towards the Lord. And it involves humbly accepting his words, and you say, these are my non-negotiable authority for everything that it talks about, for all parts of life that it speaks into. This is my non-negotiable authority. And if you fear the Lord, then you make it your goal to please the Lord in all that you do. And that becomes your passion. And so, Proverbs 23, verse 17, it's one of 14 verses where that phrase, fear of the Lord, comes up. There are other places that talk about fear God in Proverbs, but 14 that say specifically the fear of the Lord. And in Proverbs 23, verse 17, it urges every Christian, be zealous about this. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Now, notice how fear in this place is set up and contrasted with envy. And so, what it really refers to here is that fear of the Lord is developing a kind of super gratefulness for life and for the God who is the author of life, the God who gives us every grace we need, every gift we need, especially the gifts of forgiveness and eternal life and daily friendship with Jesus and the gift of wisdom. And because we're zealous for these gifts, envy and bitterness and resentment can't really creep into our life because we're not just thankful in kind of a ho-hum way. No, we're thankful in a passionate way. And we're counting our spiritual blessings. We're savoring our gospel treasures. And we're zealous to honor the Lord with thanksgiving. Even when life hurts and there have been big losses, those who are zealous for the fear of the Lord will say, Lord, I don't understand everything that's going through, but I'm going to come to know the benefits of fear, the fear of the Lord. And as such a person commits to do that, they discover benefits like passages that say the fear of the Lord adds length to life. The passages that say the fear of the Lord gives you a kind of contentment in the loving care of God that when trouble comes, you're not thrown. The fear of the Lord gives you a sense of protection. It turns people, one passage says, from the snares of death. There are other benefits that come with the fear of the Lord, but my hope is you'll say, I'm going to be a wisdom hunter, and you're going to read through Proverbs and find those benefits. You'll collect those benefits and store them away. That's what a wisdom hunter does. But that's not all they do. The verse 2 of chapter 2, they also dedicate their heart to understanding. You know, when you're dedicated to something, you do it day by day. And that's why we had chapter 8, where Lady Wisdom says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway. You know, when Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, when he read that passage, he dedicated himself to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Because he was like, if this passage means it's an everyday enterprise. And then he would read a whole chapter and he'd take one verse from the chapter and he'd say, I'm going to meditate on that verse all day long. I'm going to apply my heart, I'm going to dedicate my heart to understanding that one truth. And I feel, friends, if we don't take God's word in that sort of approach, then we're going to find that we're not really benefiting from our Bible reading. Because God doesn't just want us to read it, he wants us to digest it. That's what it means to apply your heart to understanding. You take out each proverb that you've stored away and you meditate on it. You think about it. You ponder it. You talk to others about it. Some people, for example, when we talk about this first topic, which is so key, the fear of the Lord, they don't understand. They haven't yet applied their heart to understanding that this means, fear of the Lord means that you love what the Lord loves and you hate what the Lord hates. And once you understand that, then your eyes become open to a whole slew of passages in the book of Proverbs that we might call the detest and delight passages. The detest and delight passages. These are passages that where Proverbs says, or God says, I detest this behavior, but I delight in this behavior. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord detests honest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. We read in Proverbs 11:20, the Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Now, there are lots of other detested delight passages in the book of Proverbs, and a wisdom hunter will say, I'm going to find those passages, I'm going to collect those passages, and then I'm going to dedicate myself to understanding those passages. Wisdom hunters also pray intensely for wisdom. That's what verse 3 is all about. It says, if you call out for insight, and you're calling out to God, and if you cry aloud for understanding. So every day is a day to pray for wisdom. And that really makes sense, because life in this broken, evil world is difficult. It's tough to live well in this world. We need to pray in order to do it. It's tough to choose wisely. It's tough to speak wisely. It's tough to plan wisely. It's tough to marry wisely. It's tough to use money wisely. It's tough to conduct your relationship wisely. We need to pray. It's especially tough to please the Lord in all things and in all settings of life, to give thanks to the Lord always, even when our heart is breaking. And our heart is really wanting to envy sinners. Those are tough things. And so we don't just read in the scripture, we also look up to our God and we cry aloud and we pray, gracious heavenly Father, show me the way to honor you in this situation. And the promise is, he will do it. In fact, we have that promise right here in Proverbs chapter 2. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. This week I was listening to a testimony of a pastor who sadly, when he was young, his dad divorced his mom and basically said to the kids, I'm divorcing the whole family. You're not going to see me around anymore. And so mom turned to this son and said, I need you to be the man of the house. And so at 14 or 15, he felt that responsibility and he felt his lack of wisdom to care for and help his mom with the four younger siblings. And then as he was reading his Bible, he read the promise from James 1, verse 5. Promise that we heard earlier. That if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God loves to answer the prayer for wisdom. And so this young boy, he began to pray to God directly for wisdom to handle his practical problems. One day the lawnmower broke. And his mom had said earlier in the day, we don't have money for a new lawnmower. We don't have money for these things. So this boy prayed to the Heavenly Father for wisdom. Please, Heavenly Father, tell me how to fix my lawnmower. We need this in our house. And God did it. He gave him wisdom, and this boy fixed the lawnmower. God will do that for any problem that you face right now. He's thoroughly competent to handle any problem that concerns you today. So dare to draw near him and discover his wonderful wisdom. You know, we're finishing our series here, Daring to Draw Near. And really, a big point of this whole series is that when we face an obstacle, that obstacle can either cause us to shrink back, or we say, okay, this is a problem, and I'm going after God even harder. I'm going after God with the sort of intensity of Jacob the wrestler, who says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to go after God with the curiosity of Moses checking out the burning bush. I'm going to go after God like Naaman, who swallowed his pride and went into and was willing to receive a healing, even though it meant dipping into the water of the Jordan. You go after God even when your life is bitter like Asaph, or even when you face giant armies like we saw last week with Jehoshaphat, or even when you find yourself in a desert like David. You go after God, you go after God, you go after God. And in this world where we have so many problems, you will be blessed if your problems become springboards to inspire you to pray. And if you look at each problem as an opportunity to know God and his love and his loving care and his wisdom in a deeper way. The fourth and final step of wisdom hunters is this: search with intensity and with expectation. Treasure hunts take They take time and thought and effort and intensity and the trial and error. Again, think of those treasure hunters who hunted persistently for the golden owl for over 30 years. They labored over it. They dreamed about it. They talked over it. People like Joanne Bartley, set up a website dedicated to it, and she describes the hunt as involving sweat and thought and a drain and strain, and she said in the end it was quite an adventure, totally worth the thrill of the hunt. And guess what? She didn't even find the treasure. But if you take up the hunt for wisdom, you will find it. Wisdom says in chapter 8, those who seek me will find me. And God wants to give you wisdom. If life in this broken world means problems, life in the heavenly family with our wonderful Heavenly Father means regular provision from Him. Those who find me find life and find favor from the Father. But that's not all. There are other blessings. Look at verses 4b and 5. If you do that whole big search for wisdom, as you search for like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Those are terrific blessings. To understand the fear of the Lord means you're going to enter into a life that is full and overflowing. And then there's that blessing of finding the knowledge of God. The Bible says that knowing God is eternal life. It's a way of tasting eternal life right now. It's so amazing that the search for wisdom doesn't just get you wisdom, but it gets you these gifts. But maybe I just fear some might say, well, you preachers, you get kind of worked up about such things. I'm not really interested in the fear of the Lord. I'm not really interested in the knowledge of God. I'm interested in better health and better relationships and deeper peace and greater success and higher status. I'm interested in silver and gold. But I'm not interested in it. And I just want to say, if that's where you're at, I want to say that children of God should be interested in the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. God's made us that way. And God says, what does it matter if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? There's a heavenly reality to life. There's an eternal reality to be focused on. The fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God. There's two other additional blessings in this passage. Success. It says in verse 7, God holds success in store for the upright. Now, that's an important verse. So it's the upright. It's a person who's committed themselves to righteousness, even if they don't see immediate success. This is the upright person is a person who says, I am, no matter what, I'm going to try to do what is right today, even if it doesn't bring me success immediately. And I'm going to trust that success will come if God so chooses to give it, because He stores up success for the righteous. And that truth can help righteous people stick to the righteous path, even in circumstances where they're encouraged by the world to cut corners. For example, Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. I've known guys who've used that verse and wrestled with that verse when they were in a job where they're encouraged to cheat and cut corners in the workplace, and they're wondering, can I really keep this job? Because it seems like if I keep this job, I'm going to dishonor God, but if I lose this job, I'm going to have little. And then they say, well, according to this verse, it's better to have a little for a while than to be in a situation that is really pressuring me to a wicked path. And so you see how the fear of the Lord instructs that type of person that they need to quit. It'd be better to have little money, but peace with God than great wealth with turmoil. Now, someone says, well, I thought you said, isn't the word up there success? I thought the righteous would be successful. And that's the promise. But it's our part to pursue righteousness. It's God's part to give success when he so desires. But it is a promise from him. And he will keep his promises somehow and some way. The whole Bible testifies he's faithful to keep his promise. Blessing two, he protects the faithful. I find it interesting, the final three lines of Proverbs 2, our passage in Proverbs 2, all emphasize protection. It says, the Lord is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful one. Part of the protection of the Lord comes simply by growing in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it turns a person from the snares of death. Do you know that Satan sets up snares within life? And if you develop and cultivate this fear of the Lord, it keeps you from going into those snares. The fear of the Lord can keep you from the snares of people-pleasing and get-rich-quick schemes. The fear of the Lord can keep you from the snares of bitter jealousy and the seductions of a charming con man. The fear of the Lord can keep you from getting stuck in a web of lies, and it can keep you from the toxic consequences of a quick temper. The fear of the Lord can keep you from all those snares and every other snare that is out there. The fear of the Lord is truly a fountain of life. So be a wisdom hunter, not daily at wisdom's door. Draw near to God. Seek him. You'll find wisdom. You'll find the Lord. You'll find the Lord's favor. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we pray that as we face, all of us, life in this broken world, and maybe some of us feel the sharpness of that broken world in an intense way this morning, Lord, we cry aloud for understanding and wisdom. You know what each heart needs. So we pray. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us insight. And Lord, for those who've done the right thing but feel like their life has gotten harder, I pray that by your powerful spirit, you'll whisper to their heart right now and say, but I've got success in store for you. In Jesus' name we pray.